It's time for the Money and Markets Flash Update from the team at James Investment Research. It's your daily financial briefing to help you keep more of your earnings and to make sure your investments are working harder for your family during these challenging economic times. Now, here's Roy Hatfield.
Thank you for tuning in to Real Roots Radio, WBZI, WKFI, and WEDI, and streaming on the World Wide Web at realrootsradio.com. It is time once again for the Money and Markets Flash Update from James Investment Research. And once again, we're joined by Neil Kraft. Neil, thank you for joining us. How are you, sir?
Hey, good to be with you, Roy. Thank you.
Well, as we take a look at last week and the markets, as we got to the end of the week and really the end of the month and the quarter, very strong close.
Yeah, that's right. We wrapped up things in a strong fashion, kind of highlighted by some great numbers on Friday. To recap the week, the Dow was up just over 2%, the S&P up 235, the NASDAQ, those tech stocks, were up 219, and the Russell 2000, the smaller stocks, up 3.68 on the week. So yes, quite the close to the week, month, and quarter, that is. The week's performance was really kind of underlined by continued economic optimism, with some strong economic data being welcomed more than the higher-for-longer Fed policy was feared. The big release was Friday's May PCE data, or personal consumption expenditure, which showed a below-consensus reading and an annual headline rise of just 3.8%. The lowest since April of 2021. May new home sales were much stronger than consensus, rising at the fastest pace since February of 22. Among some other bright spots, May durable goods orders posted an unexpected increase, consumer confidence continued to improve, and the initial jobless claims logged their largest weekly decrease in 20 months. The big central bank headline was the appearance of Fed Chair Powell at the annual ECB conference in Portugal. He reiterated that most committee members still see more tightening to come and also defended the choice for the Fed to slow its hiking pace to evaluate the stress from tightening that may be coming through the pipeline. But in a line sharply noticed by the market, Powell said that he wouldn't take the idea of hikes at consecutive meetings off the table. The path of least resistance seemed to shift back to the upside this week, with solid economic data playing into a soft/no landing hopes, and even thoughts of more hawkish Fed remaining tempered by a sense that the rate ceiling is near. There was a lot of discussion of FOMO and the, quote, catch-up trade, with analysts also judging underlying conditions as firmer than earlier in the year when the AI trade was a big driver. All that said, recession fears have not entirely abated, and the Fed is still expected to raise rates again next month. While disinflationary forces seem to be gaining some traction, there remain concerns about sticky prices as well as the headwinds from eroding corporate pricing power. As we shift a little bit and take a look at this week, it is a somewhat choppy or interrupted week, with the markets closing early on Monday, July 3rd, and off tomorrow for Independence Day. Nonetheless, the OPEC meeting is set to begin on Wednesday, July 5th, and run through the following day on Thursday, July 6th. A couple interesting things to look out for as well. On Wednesday in the afternoon, the Fed minutes will be released, and usually we're looking for just a couple lines or phrases in there. And then on Friday, first thing in the morning, we will get the June jobs report, and that will likely cause the market to react.
We're joined by Neil Kraft, Relationship Manager with James Investment Research, advisors to the James Advantage Funds, on the Money and Markets Flash Update. Neil, we don't get a whole lot of opportunities to talk about the Supreme Court, but a big ruling came down last week.
Yes, sir. Certainly some noise from that part of our country. Coming off of the Supreme Court ruling against the student debt cancellation, now is a proper time to revisit some issues to consider when paying off one's student loans. You know, debt is something that a lot of folks navigate at one point or another in their lives, and for some of us, it takes the form of student loans. student loan payments that have been frozen for the last 3 years because of the pandemic are set to restart in October. And that was going to happen no matter what the Supreme Court decided here. But also note that interest will start accruing on September 1st. So as we talk to clients, prospects, investors, all alike, some things to just kind of to consider are you currently in school? If so, you're very likely not required to begin making those payments, at least as long as you are enrolled at a half-time pace. Is your employment status changing, or are you changing careers? It's possible that you're going to have a new position, hours, salary, compensation, different things that could impact student loans, your ability to pay them off, and your career move could affect you know what type of eligibility you have for even profession-based forms of relief in that area. Are you the co-signer of a loan for a family member? You want to ensure that the borrower is making timely payments. You know, late payments can affect your credit score in this situation, and pursue available options for release if and when applicable. You want to maintain a copy of your note, obviously, and understand the terms and any triggering events that could even accelerate payments. Are you in repayment already and looking to pay your debt on an accelerated schedule? A lot of times, you know, folks are wired to erase or eliminate that debt as fast as possible. You want to review the loan features to help you prioritize when an inflow of cash hits your checking account, which extra payments should be going where, directing them away from loans maybe with the most favorable features, either from an interest rate standpoint or potential forgiveness relief triggering events, and ensure that the extra payments are going towards principal and don't cause any unintended effects.
We're joined by Neil Kraft for a few more minutes on the Money and Markets Flash Update from James Investment Research, advisors to the James Advantage Funds. Neil, what are some repayment strategies when it comes to student loans that James is recommending?
Well, some things just to kind of be aware of for sure, Roy, is do you have federal loans? And if so, you may be eligible for IDR plans. That stands for income-driven repayment, and that those tools are available. If you are currently repaying under an IDR plan, again, income-driven repayment, you want to consider if there has been or will be a change in your marital status. You want to review the impact of your spouse's income and student loan balance, if applicable, on your repayment obligations. That also is going to apply to potential changes in your family size. If you're having a child, you're adopting, reviewing the impact on your repayment obligations there as well. If you are a teacher, a nurse, doctor, military service member, or lawyer, you're going to potentially qualify for some repayment assistance programs. If you're a nonprofit employee or government employee with federal loans, you could be eligible for loan forgiveness through PSLF, and that stands for Public Service Loan Forgiveness, after making a certain number of qualifying payments. Reviewing your work and payment history to determine your eligibility status, also extremely important. As we kind of move into some tax issues just to be aware of in this student loan repayment topic today, you'll want to look at your modified adjusted gross income, or your MAGI, for single filers being less than $90,000, or if you're married filing joint, $185,000 or less. You may qualify for an above-the-line income tax deduction for any interest paid on qualified education loans. This would apply to you, your spouse, any dependents as well, up to a maximum of $2,500 per tax year. We did mention $90,000 or less for single filers, $185,000 or less for married filing joint. There are some phase-outs to those numbers that begin at $75,000 and $155,000 respectively. The deduction here is allowed for both required and voluntary prepaid interest payments. Another thing to consider here is, have any of your student loans been discharged in whole or in part? And if so, per the American Rescue Plan of 2021, the discharge of student debt, federally backed or private, from 2021 through 2025 is excluded from income at the federal level. And then finally, are your payments tied to your adjusted gross income? That is to say, an income-driven repayment loan, or that's IDR popping up again here. If you're married, note how your household income and tax filing status could affect your monthly payments, and compare your joint tax liability under married filing separate and married filing joint, and choose obviously the most favorable method in that case.
Neil Kraft is our guest on the Money and Markets Flash Update from James Investment Research, advisors to the James Advantage Funds. Neil, one more segment as we talk about student loans repayment. Just another strategy and another thing that falls under the giant umbrella that James can help with when it comes to income or debt.
Yes, sir. And at James, we specialize in helping people prioritize achieve their goals, no matter where they are on their financial journey. If you're paying down student loans, if you're considering where to pull money from to pay for a second property, or wherever you are in that financial journey, we're here to help and here to prioritize the next best move for you. So under the wealth management umbrella, you know, a big part of that is tax planning. It's cash flow management and understanding one's needs wherever they are in life. And we can certainly collaborate, you know, with your outside professionals such as an attorney or a CPA to create and really just organize a comprehensive plan that's customized specifically for you. And your goals are different than another's. So really trying to create a plan, you know, check progress, and take it one day at a time to help folks eventually eliminate debt. You know, it's just one piece of the overall puzzle here.
Neil, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Roy. Take care.
The James Investment Money and Market Flash Update is presented by James Investment Radio, a service of James Investment Research. For more information, call toll-free 888-426-7640 or go to jamesinvestment.com.